Welcome to KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Self-driving cars are on the streets of Pittsburgh today. Uber X riders in that city can choose to be picked up by a driverless car. In fact, NPR reporter Liz Reed took a ride with a human supervisor next to her, ready to take the wheel if needed.
As the car pulls out of the parking lot, the iPad shows a loose rendering of our surroundings. The road, parked cars, buildings, other cars on the road, a pedestrian crossing the street. The ride feels like a ride in any other car, with an extremely cautious driver.
Yeah, she described the turns as being painfully slow. That's Pittsburgh today. When are driverless cars coming here to the Puget Sound area, and how could that affect our lives? We're going to ask Mark Hallenbeck with the State Transportation Center at the University of Washington. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
So there have been driverless vehicles on our streets. Google tested some cars in Kirkland. For the average person in our region, when do you think and how might they first try out a driverless car?
Well, if you really want to try a driverless car, fly to Pittsburgh and order an Uber in downtown. So the Pittsburgh demonstration is a very narrow geographic area. And my guess is the first thing you will see other than, hey, you can go get yourself a Tesla and put it in auto mode and it'll drive you driverless right now.
And those exist.
Those exist. You can you go buy a Tesla and away you go. If you're waiting for something like the Uber, you're going to have to wait several years would be my bet until one of the taxi companies, Uber, Lyft with GM, decides they're going to do a demonstration in Seattle. And, you know, it could be Google, but it could be 3-4 years would be my bet.
There are so many what ifs here, I realize. But basically, how seriously do you take driverless cars? What's your vision of when and how they will become part of the Puget Sound commute?
In the way that most people envision the Jetsons kind of stuff, where you get in the car, push the buttons, and go to sleep for an hour while it commutes, you're still 10 years out, at least. You'll see Teslas on the road right now. So at the one level of the continuum, you're there now. At the level that we often imagine, you're quite a ways out. So, you know, imagine that you will be able to rent them in a few years, but in a relatively small geographic area, or you can buy a car where you're still in charge of, but it's essentially driving itself. So what's happening in Pittsburgh right now is the driver is there to deal with the unexpected. And in the automated car world, the problem is the unexpected can get you killed, which you saw in Florida. And so understanding what the unexpected is very difficult. We like to say that in engineering terms, the first 95% of the development costs 5% and the last 5% costs 95%, and most of that's in the last 1%. So in automated cars, you're in that last 1%. But understanding what happens in that 1% is really difficult, and a lot of it's just experience. And that's what Google is doing now. That's what Uber is doing in Pittsburgh.
So what would be your guess as to when driverless cars will be as safe or as dangerous as driving already is, because there are already accidents? So how many years would that take?
I'd say they're already there. You know, Google, in their documentation, Google shares results, but they don't share the details. Their cars are roughly as safe as a human-driven car, and safer in some respects and not as safe in others.
But painfully slow at times. This morning's NPR report described sitting behind a car that's parallel parking instead of whipping it around it like most of us do.
So that's one of the things you have to understand about automated cars is they follow the rules.
Yeah.
So if they're – and as a matter of fact, there's an interesting liability question. If you're in an automated car, would you want to drive 60 miles an hour on I-5 on Sunday afternoon?
I would not.
And because on the other hand, if you're driving 65 with traffic and there's an accident, even if it's not your fault in a joint liability state, you're speeding. And therefore, does that make Google – liable, at least partially? And if you're partially liable, that gets you sued for huge quantities of money. So will automated cars be allowed to drive faster than the speed limit because that's what traffic is doing? So when you're the automated car manufacturer, vendor, whatever the term actually needs to be, and Google's not making cars, right? So they're a software vendor. They have to be cautious at this stage in time. And so when they're driving, they're cautious. And Uber is behind Google, so they're even more cautious as they drive.
I want to ask you about the $54 billion regional transit system question we're going to decide in the fall. Why not save the money and hassle and wait for the driverless car system to make our commute better?
So driverless cars aren't going to solve that problem. There's not enough capacity. Driverless cars for the very foreseeable future, and we're talking 20 years, at an absolute minimum, will still be a portion of the vehicle fleet for a long, long, long time to come. And therefore, all the other cars that are in the way will only be having the same level of congestion that they do, and the automated cars are going to be stuck in it. There are a number of potential outcomes where automated cars make things way worse. In very few of those ultimate outcomes does life get way better. It's not the way human behavior works, and it's not the way the business models work.
Okay, we'll talk more about that. We've been envisioning the future on the occasion of Pittsburgh letting UberX riders opt in and get into a driverless car today. And that's Mark Hallenbeck with the Washington State Transportation Center, the director of that center at the University of Washington. Mark, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke.